He showed me the pictures of it. It's like there were just stacks of pans and dishes with food all over the house and all over the, you know, sink and the dishwasher. And they had cats that tore up all the furniture, and there were like, you know, pee stains all over the bed.
How do you live like that?
Dance, monkey, dance.
Hello and welcome to this week's episode of Dance Monkey Dance. I'm Chris.
I'm John.
How you doing, John?
Oh, I'm surviving the deep south, deep freeze that's going on right now. I think it's about 55 out.
Yeah.
It goes down maybe 40 overnight.
We had on Friday, it was 28 when I woke up. On the way to taking my kid to school, it started to sleet, which was a new experience in South Carolina.
Okay.
Everybody was flipping out because it doesn't sleet here. Like, so nobody knew what it was. Like, it was just little, everybody was like, it's hailing out. It's like, no, it's not, it's too small to be hail. It's sleet. And so I kept waiting, because they kept saying, oh, it's going to sleet for the rest of the day. So I kept waiting for the phone call from the school being like, hey, come get your kid because you're closing the school. It never came. So I go to pick her up at 3:45, like I always do, because she gets out at like 4:05.
Okay.
And there's an email when I park that's like, so any of the student drivers or people who drive with student drivers or ride along with student drivers are going to get out at 3:50, like 15 minutes early. And I was like, well, why don't you just empty the school at 3:50? Like, why are you like, these 150 kids get to leave school first? Like,
right.
It doesn't make any. So my kid gets in the car and it's taking longer than usual to get out. And I'm like, this should be faster because all of those kids are gone. And those are always the ones that won't let anybody in. And they're like, you know, there's no compassion for anybody else but themselves, like typical fucking Southerners.
Right.
And it turns out that the cop that's usually down at the bottom of the driveway that lets all the school people go wasn't there. And so I was like, what idiot said the cop doesn't need to be there when you're trying to get everybody out safely? It just the thinking process here is so backwards. And it took us longer to get out than it was when if they had just let everybody out at the same time.
Right.
So I was just like, fuck this place, man. Like, this is crazy.
I thought you were going to tell me that the cop who stops traffic was taking bribes from parents to get better spaces.
No.
And that wouldn't really surprise me these days.
I mean, they're all fucking Republicans here, so, you know, they all have the same thoughts, I guess.
Yeah.
But it could be worse. You could be on fire.
I guess. It's all going to be on fire soon.
Starting with California, it's working its way east.
Right.
So with all the trees burned down, then I guess when the rainy season hits, then there is a risk of more mudslides.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's just a fucking nightmare, man.
It is. And something that's bothering me about the media coverage of this is like they're talking about all the beautiful homes, and Mel Gibson lost his home, and Paris Hilton lost her home, and Billy Crystal lost his home. And it's like, and what about the thousands of people who aren't celebrities who've lost their homes?
Yeah.
You know, you're making it sound like, oh, poor Paris Hilton, she'll never recover.
Yeah,
and
I mean,
fuck her.
In the long run, if people are going to lose their property, the ones with millions of dollars are probably the ones to, as horrible as that sounds, like, they're the ones that can recover. They're the ones that, right. You know, and I know, like, James Woods was crying about the fact that his homeowner or his home insurance group pulled out a couple of months ago and he has no insurance or whatever, but it's still like, you should have millions of dollars. Do you still technically have that property, which I'm sure they're going to swoop in and try to buy from you for, you know, pennies.
Well,
on the
his
dollar.
House didn't even burn down.
No,
his
he lied about it.
Did he lie about it or he just assumed?
I mean, he was pretty sure that fucking that it had burned down. Like, he was crying what looked like real tears. So I don't know. I don't know.
I mean, it's just something about feeling pity for these people who, you know, have it so much better than anyone else. And yet there are people who are not going to be able to rebuild, who don't have that luxury, who,
yeah,
you know, I mean, they're gone.
Yeah. And, you know, all of the video editing groups that I belong to on like Reddit and Facebook and stuff, for the past year, year and a half, all of the California editors have been like, yeah, like there's no work. Like, we're living on our savings, just trying to get by and blah, blah, blah. And if those people have lost their houses, like, what do you do?
Right.
If say your insurance company does pull out and like, you don't have insurance, like, what does the bank come after you for the property? And like, you can't get blood from a stone. Like,
right.
Just so weird. So, yeah.
It's very sad. However, Mark Hamill did not lose his house.
No.
Dick Van Dyke did not lose his house.
No. But and,
still,
and,
I mean, the things we prioritize as Americans is just fucked up.
Well, yeah.
You know, you see like all this footage of people going back and videotaping, you know, what's left of their property. And it's like, you're going to spin this into something. You're not, you know, you're not doing this for nothing. You're, you know, you've got an angle. You're going to work it.
Yeah. How do you feel about the idea that was being floated around for a while that for canceling the rest of award season and taking the money that would have been spent on that and give it to like the victims of the fires?
You know, what would be a better thing?
What?
All that bullshit money that's gone to the inauguration.
Yeah.
Should immediately be going to these people.
Yeah.
You know, this whole big presentation by Bob Iger that, you know, the Walt Disney Company is giving $15 million. Yeah, Bob, and how much are you given?
Right.
Because what you're going to do is you're going to cut some hourly employees' hours to make up the shortfall.
Yeah.
And every one of these people with, you know, these millionaires and billionaires are just standing by. You know, Paris Hilton, if she had a fucking soul, she would immediately be reaching out to the people who are hardest hit.
Yeah.
But,
oh, absolutely.
You know, she's not. You know, I mean, I think it's great that Mel Gibson's house burned down while he was doing a podcast with Joe Rogan.
Yeah.
I think that's just fantastic. But I really don't care that, you know, one of the Real Housewives lost her house.
Yeah, I mean,
you know, Beyonce's mother lost her house. I don't give a shit.
Yeah, I mean, it's about the little people. It's about, you know, it's more about people like us in like the creative fields that can't afford to, right. that make that town run, that lost all their stuff, you know,
right.
What are they going to get for it? You know, they'll probably get fired for not showing up to their gig.
Right. Right. Oh, Cary Elwes lost his house.
Oh.
Well, we have firsthand knowledge that he's a douche, so yes. Sorry.
Yes, we do.
It's, yeah. We definitely live in interesting times.
It's only going to get worse.
Oh, come on. There's still 7 days that something can be done. Come on. Convicted felon now, officially. Come on.
Yeah.
So take him out.
So was Hitler.
Exactly.
So, you know, for what it's worth, those that don't that don't study history are doomed to repeat it. Well, here we are.
Not only doomed to repeat it, repeating it 4 fucking years later.
Yep.
It's not even like this is ancient history.
Nope.
This is... Ugh.
People saw what happened and was like, yeah, please, more of that. It's like, oh, yeah, okay.
So Amazon, Google, Meta, Microsoft, Apple, and Uber all gave $1 million to the LA fires. I mean, $1 million to the Trump inauguration. Taylor Swift gave $10 million to the LA fires.
Yep.
It's all very frustrating.
Yeah.
You know, it's sad that the first thing I do in the morning is look at obituaries and still not there. Anyway, enough of that.
I think that's going to be my first glass of some alcoholic beverage in my life.
Is really?
When it pops up. Oh, yeah.
Well, I mean, this is probably our last day of speaking freely on our podcast, so...
Yeah,
we'll probably. See how that goes.
I mean, as long as we stick to just, you know, non-political subjects, we'll be fine.
Right. We'll stay under the radar.
Yeah. I mean, and who are we? Come on.
Hopefully. So what else is going on?
All right, so I did the homework assignment this week.
You did?
I watched Wicked.
Okay.
I have a lot of questions.
Okay.
Overall, I like the movie.
Yeah.
I'm really confused about what is canon and what isn't, as opposed to what I've seen before.
You mean canon from L. Frank Baum?
Well, canon in regards to the original movie Wizard of Oz.
They're really not closely related.
Okay, because they're very much so in the beginning of this film, it's very much there's a shot of Dorothy and her friends walking back to the Emerald City with the broom.
And that's very misleading because something happens in the second movie where they really should not have met Dorothy at all. And for them to join in fact, one of these characters physically cannot be following Dorothy. But until
okay.
you read the book or we see the second movie, I'm not going to say anything.
Is this the person on the horse?
No.
Or
No.
Okay.
There's a reason those three other characters with her
yeah.
should not be her allies based on the book Wicked.
Oh, okay. So it's that different? The book and the musical are that different?
I don't know why they choose to put that scene in.
Because
it doesn't happen in the book.
Okay.
It doesn't happen in the show. And I think I mentioned before that in the show, it's done behind a scrim.
Right.
And it's basically the moment where she throws the bucket of water on the witch.
Right.
You know, there's nothing else about it. It's like they're not skulking around outside the castle dressed as the guards. And it's just a throwaway to go, oh, yeah, by the way, this is also part of what we were talking about.
Because one of the other things that confused me a lot is if you were to watch this after watching the original Wizard of Oz,
mm-hmm.
they go back to Munchkinland, like after the Wicked Witch is dead. So we're talking 2 days after Dorothy's arrival?
Yeah.
That? There's no little people in Munchkinland.
Nope.
Where's the house that fell on the Wicked Witch of the East?
Yeah.
Like I
can't... actually that is in the play. That's in the second part of the movie. It happens in the second act of the play. I don't know if it's going to be in the second movie.
Because there's a big like wide establishing shot of Munchkinland, and I was like, "Where's the house?" Like I don't.
Right.
Those were the things that were throwing me because like if you're saying that, especially after showing Dorothy walking back down the Yellow Brick Road. That this is all kind of the same continuity, like it almost. Why aren't there like little people in Munchkinland? Why is Elphaba's dad? Is he the mayor of Munchkinland?
Not of mayor. He's no.
Okay.
He's yeah. He's a government official of another. Land.
But is it it's not Munchkinland?
It's not Munchkinland. No.
Oh, okay. Because I thought they had said that he was like the mayor of Munchkinland or something. And
no.
And so no. I was really confused when you meet the kid at the college or the school, mm-hmm. whatever the fuck it is. And he's like he meets the girl in the wheelchair and he's like, "Oh, I'm from Munchkinland." And I was like, "Shouldn't you know her?" Like,
right. No.
Like there was a bunch of stuff like that. I guess I had misheard something somewhere. And so I was like, I was really confused. And I was like, wait a minute. There are people that should know Elphaba. There should be people that should know like this family. And it just seemed like they were alien to everybody. And you don't think like there would be some kind of, even in Oz where it's like, there's a green girl that lives over there.
Right.
Like, that shit would get around, even in Oz. Especially with the way, like, this society is set up in Wicked.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's very much like the have and the have-nots, you know, of, you know...
Oh, definitely.
Like, normal, like modern-day storytelling.
Right.
And I like the girl that plays Elphaba. I thought Ariana Grande was acting as what I would imagine Ariana Grande to be in real life.
Okay.
I don't know the girl, so I can't speak to whether like, but like the way that she was acting as Galinda, I was like, oh, that's just her.
Right.
Like everything that I've seen of Ariana Grande is like, oh, that's Galinda, man.
Mm-hmm.
So, okay. So there's a lot of things that will be answered in part two.
Hopefully.
Okay.
Yeah, but there's stuff. So the L. Frank Baum stories are independent of the movie.
Okay.
Because the movie switched to ruby slippers because of Technicolor.
Right.
But because they're from the movie and they're not from the Baum stories, then they have to go back to Baum's version where they're silver slippers.
Okay. Which is what the mom gives the girl in the wheelchair.
Yep.
Who and I assume she becomes a witch at some point?
Well, if she's the one wearing the slippers, you would assume that she's actually the Wicked Witch of the East.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking.
Right.
Okay.
But she never... Again.
She never really displays any kind of power.
Right.
And I guess
And the reason Elphaba has powers is because her mom was fucking around with somebody.
Yeah.
And hopefully the little bit of dialogue you heard between her and her lover gave you a hint as to who it was.
I was assuming it was the wizard.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Spoiler alert.
And he makes her drink that stuff before.
Yes.
Which is, I'm assuming, is like where a lot of that shit comes from, which is why she's green and...
Right.
But I mean, for all my confusion, I will say, like, some of the things in that movie were really cool. I liked the song that they do in the library.
Mm-hmm.
Where, like, they're spinning through, like, the circular book racks and stuff. Yep. Like that. I thought that was done really well. I really liked the defying gravity part of the... which is like the end of the movie.
Right.
I thought that all looked really cool. I thought it was a really good mix of like what you've seen before in like Wizard of Oz and like what they can do today. Like there's a lot of homages to that original, like witch flying over Emerald City and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah.
Yeah, I mean, there are a lot of things in the book that they don't use. Like, Fiero is... He's supposed to have a full body tattoo.
Okay.
Of, like, a diamond pattern.
Oh,
and okay. I want to say he's a Winky, which are the guards at the castle, the witch's castle.
Oh.
It's been a while since I've read the book.
Okay.
But there's a lot of background in the book that's a little hard to digest.
Okay.
So yeah, it is very confusing because there are those, you know, those versions that we're already really familiar with, and then it's adapted by another author who's putting his spin on it.
Right. And there's been a movie already that supposedly tells the origin story of the wizard and the witch who's not Elphaba.
Right.
You know, so it's be, and I think it's that first scene that really made me wonder what I was watching with mm-hmm. like Dorothy. Cause I immediately went, well, why is the Cowardly Lion walking on all fours?
Right.
Like, and I get later on, like, you know, the little lion in the classroom is supposed to be him and,
right,
you know, animals act like animals in this version of it. So he's not walking on two legs, but it takes a long time to get there.
Well, and the thing, and I don't even know if they're going to cover this, but as the animals are removed from their human like roles,
yeah,
they start to regress.
Oh, okay.
And I don't know if they're going to show that. But yeah, there's a lot of... I don't even know what to compare this to. Because it's... Yes, it uses the same source material as the movie.
Yeah.
The movie has very little to do with this. In terms of who the characters are, and it's kind of like, this is, you know, this is the untold story.
Right.
So he's kind of, Maguire kind of filled in the gaps that you didn't see in the film and you didn't see in the L. Frank Baum books.
Okay.
And Elphaba gets her name from L. Frank Baum.
Right. Yeah. That I knew.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's going to be very interesting to see how well the second film's going to be accepted.
Okay.
Because there's, you know, nobody has really shown their true colors yet.
But right.
Millions of people have seen that musical.
Right.
So people are immediately going to make assumptions.
Okay.
And yeah, we'll have to wait and see.
And am I correct in assuming that the person on the horse in the beginning is Elphaba? Did she survive?
Is that
too much of a spoiler?
I can't. Yeah, that's too much.
Okay.
But I mean, there's stuff in the book where you find out how Wicked Witch of the West gets like the crows and why she has, you know, all of these details are thrown out.
So was the stage play adapted from the book?
Yes, from Gregory Maguire's book, Wicked.
Okay.
And again, they couldn't use things that were in the MGM musical.
Okay.
Which is probably why the whole scene with Dorothy is done behind a scrim, because you couldn't really show her in, you know, the blue and white check dress and the ponytails and, you know.
Right.
But yeah. But yeah, there's lots of speculation about who's riding the horse at this point.
Okay. I mean, and it seems, having not read anything, you know, I would assume that the way they're setting it up is that the Tin Man and the Scarecrow are people that we know, as opposed to like the Wizard of Oz version where like she projects the farmhands into these people.
These are definitely people you know.
Yeah, okay.
But can't really get into too many details because...
to pick up this discussion in a year?
Yeah, exactly. If we're still here.
Yeah.
What else have you watched?
Skeleton Crew.
Okay.
I like the fact that they didn't wait till the last episode to reunite the kids with their parents.
Yep.
You know, it's a redemption for what's his name? He's got so many names. I don't even know what to call him anymore.
Jode?
Yeah, I guess the redemption of Jode is probably not going to happen.
No, not at all. I mean, he cuts Smee's head off and yeah. He kills the werewolf pirate captain.
Yeah.
So, yeah, and I don't know what's going to happen as far as if he gets the other ship down to Ad-Atten.
Yeah, I mean, there was some speculation online of, is this how the First Order gets their funding?
Mm.
Is the First Order more or less the Space Pirates, just evolved?
Right. Right.
You know, could be. I don't know. There's a lot of aliens in the ranks of the pirates, and they're aren't any in like either the Empire or the First Order. You know, it's a very
well,
Thrawn was one of the few alien species that like was high level in the Empire.
Well, but what about all the senators who were supporting the Emperor?
Well, yeah, but they're not in charge of the military.
Well, no, you got me there.
But I like the fact that the ship was actually changed into the pirate ship that it's actually a Atten like supply yes. ship.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how they were able to get through. And I guess the first time, because it had the other shielding on it, that it didn't survive, and that's why it crashed.
Right.
I mean, it's definitely a fun TV show.
Mm-hmm.
But I also wonder if they had not put this as a Star Wars show, if it had just been a space adventure called Skeleton Crew, with everything except for the fact that it doesn't take place in the Star Wars universe,
mm-hmm.
if it would be a bigger hit than it is. Because,
yeah,
as we've talked about before, nobody hates Star Wars more than Star Wars fans.
Right.
And I've seen a lot of shit about this show, like, condemning it. And it's like, is that just because it's Star Wars? Had it been this movie or this TV show with no Star Wars ties to it, would it have been better? Because now you just have a kid show where the main cast is flying around in a spaceship.
Yeah.
You know, if it was like Treasure Planet, where you have space pirates and, you know, shit like that.
Yeah, there's still a lot of questions. And the overseer or whoever that robot is was like really, really bent out of shape over the parents sending out that message.
Yeah.
It's like, who is he answering to?
Well, there's definitely a supervisor that we haven't seen yet.
Right.
That like hangs out in the big tower. It's also, I'm also wondering whether in the finale it will play into the fact that when they went to the pirate's lair, the recording made it so that you couldn't see the face of the guy.
Right.
And if that means anything, if, you know, you find out that that dude survived the crash.
Right.
Of the Onyx Cinder, and he like got into their society and became the supervisor as like the ultimate keeper of wealth.
Hmm.
But I mean, it was pretty telling that like they had, most of those adults had never seen a ship arrive on Atten before.
Right.
And like everybody came out to see it and like, you know, so they obviously had been wiped off whatever the Imperial maps were after the Empire took over. Although why, like, the Imperial officers didn't know about Atten.
Yeah, it's kind of weird that they became their own, you know, like they just kept on going as if things were normal. You know, they just kept on making money.
Yep.
But nobody questioned why it was not being picked up.
Yeah, I guess not. And they have 1,139 volts. Vaults?
Vaults, yeah. Vaults.
And cheeky nod to 1138, because they were in the one vault and there was that many more.
Exactly. Well, I guess we only have one episode left.
Yeah, there's only one. And I guess they asked one of the kids what they could expect, and their only answer was death. So I don't know if everybody's making it out, if the pirates get destroyed or, you know.
Yeah, that would be a complete mind fuck if at the end of this there's no happy family ending. Like the planet gets blown up after you see like Imperial shuttles leaving the atmosphere.
There you go. I would at least like a little backstory on Jude Law's character.
Mm-hmm.
I'd like to know whether he was a Padawan during the Purge.
Yeah, because he seems to know how to at least use a lightsaber.
Yeah, so there's a lot going on with his character that they have not answered to keep him shady.
And whose lightsaber is it?
Yeah. Maybe it's the guy that's in the tower.
Could be.
Like, I'm almost expecting a flashback in the beginning of this next one where it's Jude Law and his master as Padawan and Jedi, and that's his master's lightsaber.
Mm-hmm.
And then, like, after Order 66, the Jedi becomes a space pirate. And he's the guy
Jedi has survived.
Yeah, I mean, tons of Jedi survived.
Yeah.
They all just went into hiding.
Right. Did you see that they may have chosen an actor to replace Baylan Skoll in Ahsoka season 2?
I did. It's the guy that played the Hound in Game of Thrones.
Yeah. Now I wonder if they're going to make him look like Ray Stevenson.
I would assume he gets a hairpiece and a beard.
Or something has happened to him that he's changed the way he looks.
Possibly.
That's very, very interesting news.
I did see somebody mocked up like a picture of him in the getup, and like he doesn't look bad. He doesn't look as good as like Liev Schreiber would have looked, or somebody that was more similar to Rey.
Yeah.
But I don't think it's going to be bad. I mean, I trust Filoni enough that they probably went through a whole shitload of people and they've decided that this guy is the best.
It's all very interesting. Actually, there's some side-by-side pictures of both actors, and it's like, yeah, I can see it.
Yeah, I mean, he doesn't
maybe
look
he
bad.
Gets a helmet in the next version.
I think the guy from Game of Thrones, his head is a little bit
longer. Yeah,
as opposed to Ray Stevens, who had kind of a rounder head.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know.
It's going to be like the other Becky.
Yeah, except they can't get Ray Stevenson back and be like, where have you been?
But I mean, can't we get Ray Stevenson back? Can't we strike a deal with his family?
I don't know.
I mean, we're pretty damn close AI-wise.
Yeah. I mean, Rory McCann can grow a big bushy beard, so I'm sure they dye it gray and put a hairpiece on him. I'm sure he'll be fine.
Yeah.
What else have you watched this week?
I watched the Goosebumps show on Disney Plus season 2.
Yeah.
I liked it. It's, you got to get used to old fat David Schwimmer. But this one pretty much, like, season 1 ended on this big cliffhanger. And season 2 totally ignores that fact.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh.
Like, season 1, there are a lot of one-off stories that kind of came together.
Yeah.
Whereas this one is definitely one arc.
Okay.
And it involves a teen who was mysteriously killed 20 years ago, and Schwimmer has moved to Brooklyn because his mother now has dementia, and he had to put her in a home, and his two kids show up for the summer, and you know, they get into trouble. But it's very suspenseful without being overly gory.
Right.
And it's a pretty decent story.
So it's not like a goofy type TV show?
Not really, no. No. It's got some tense moments. It's got some pretty decent CGI effects.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, I would recommend it. I watched the whole thing this weekend.
Did you watch the other 4 seasons?
One season before this, yeah.
Oh, okay. Why is it saying 5 seasons?
Yeah, exactly. And I wasn't really a Goosebumps fan. I like know about, like, what was there, like a killer hamster or something and a ventriloquist dummy?
Something like that.
Yeah. And you really don't need to know anything about Goosebumps to watch this.
Oh, okay.
But yeah, it's a decent story.
Okay.
I finished the last of What If?
Yeah, I haven't gotten to that yet.
Okay.
Did you enjoy it?
It needs to be discussed. I did.
Okay.
It ends in a very, and again, I have to keep telling myself that this isn't canon. This is, you know, what if?
Right.
What if these things happened? But it ends in a very interesting way.
Okay.
In a good way. Have you watched the Howard the Duck episode yet?
No, that's the next one to watch.
Okay. I don't understand how Darcy and Howard hooked up.
Okay.
Like why? Why did this relationship happen? It's like she wasn't at the, you know, the collector's lair when it got blown up, when you see Howard in the case, and
right,
you know, you haven't really seen Howard in any other Marvel movie since.
There's a really brief shot of him in not Infinity War, the Endgame. He's coming out of one of the portals.
Oh,
so
okay.
He does wind up on Earth at some point.
Okay.
You know, and if this is the same Howard the Duck, you know, he's been here before.
Well, yeah. Yeah, but I mean, Darcy's not the character that Leah Thompson was in the first movie.
Right.
So, I mean, there's been a good balance of the absurdly funny and the it's like, wow, that's kind of a good question to ask. And like the last few episodes all deal with the Watchers. So
okay.
You'll have to look forward to that.
Okay.
Yeah, I haven't really watched anything else.
I have been watching, still watching Silo on Apple.
Yeah.
I think it's one of my new favorite shows.
Really? Okay. Yeah. I'm afraid it's going to be too much like Lost.
No, it's not.
And I'll have PTSD.
No. There are things that are, there are mysteries to unravel, but every time that I've been like, oh, I wonder if they're ever going to answer that, they have. You know, it's not like 5 years later and we're wondering who the fucking people whispering in the jungle was. Oh, those right. are dead people. What?
They are?
Weren't they? Weren't they like the voices of like the disembodied people who died on the
island? Oh, I didn't think that was ever explained. I thought they were the others.
No, I think there's an explanation for it. Maybe.
Okay.
Because I think it was one of the last times they brought Michael back, and he was one of them, and he had died in the show, I think.
The kid? Oh, no. Mike, yeah. Parano.
Yeah.
I don't know. It just bothers me that there's a blonde character named Juliet living in a silo at the end of the world, possibly.
Wow.
How many episodes is this?
Well, with this season, it'll be 20.
Oh, so there's two seasons.
Yeah.
I don't know if I want to dedicate that much time to it.
So according to Reddit and Who Are the Whisperers, they are the ghosts of the island of those who were unable to move on because of the things they have done. They were never specific to only the others, just associated with them the most. There were times okay. they were heard when the others were not around. The others were aware of the whisperers, as Ben warned Danielle to run away if she ever heard them, as it meant his people were close. So it's likely the whisperers were the dead trying to warn the living that the others were nearby.
Oh.
So.
That makes sense.
Yeah. Another thing I finished was something I talked about last week, the 8 show.
Uh-huh.
Which is another Korean TV show that's based on like a violent video game or a violent okay. game show type thing.
Yeah.
It's very dark. I don't know if you'll ever watch it.
Probably not.
Okay, so I'll spoil some of it. So these 8 people show up and they have to pick a room. They have to pick a floor, and it's 1 through 8. And there's a guy that like only has use of like one leg, so he takes floor number 1. And then there are other people on the different floors. And what you come to find out is that for every minute that you're in this building, you're making a certain amount of money. And okay. so there's a timer on the wall that counts down. And the more that you do on the quote unquote show that amuses the watchers, the more time you get, and the more time you get means the more money you make. And what starts out as like what they think is you have to run up and down all 8 flights of stairs every day to get more time, that slowly starts it so that like they don't get as much time. And so things grow to be more insane and more violent, because what they realize is the more violent acts are committed, the more time that you get. And it becomes this dichotomy of like the top 4 floors are making the most money, and they take over the rest of them, and they like force them to be their slaves, and like they torture them at one point, and like floor 2 and floor 6 don't like each other. So floor 6, which is a guy, beats the shit out of floor 2, which is a girl. And so like there's a lot of like intergender violence that way.
Okay.
And it's the story of pretty much this, the center couple of floors and how they're trying to deal with all of this and how to get out, because the only way they can get out is if the timer goes to zero. And anytime somebody beats the shit out of somebody else, the time goes up. So they can't get out. And it's all based on greed, and it's all based on the upper floors thinking that they're better than everybody else. And it's an interesting allegory into like a class warfare system.
Okay.
You know, they're allowed to buy anything, but it takes out of their money earned. So they're buying like tasers and they're tasering people. And like they only get more time if the person being tasered pisses themselves. Like, it's really bizarre.
Ooh.
But it's okay. Again, it's an interesting idea of like, especially where we are now in the world of like class warfare. But it was very interesting. I don't know if I liked it as much as I found it like fascinating of like what that could mean in the real world.
Hmm. Okay.
But that's also on Netflix.
Yeah, I'm going to pass.
I mean, if you don't like Squid Game, you're not going to like The 8 Show.
Yeah. I mean, I just think Squid Game is our future in, you know, 6 months. So.
The other thing that I started watching on Netflix is a show called The Night Agent.
Okay.
And it starts out with like a bomb on a subway, and there's a FBI agent that gets everybody off the train. But then is like kind of accused of like being the bomber.
Okay.
And he's relegated to this position where like, if secret agents need help, they call this line, and he gets a phone call in the middle of the night. And like, there's this mystery. I've only seen like two or three episodes, but
okay.
It seems pretty good. It's like, you know, it's espionage and shit like that. It's kind of like,
is it an American show?
Yeah.
Well, I guess if it takes place at the White House.
Yeah.
I don't recognize anybody in the cast.
The only person that I knew in the first episode was Robert Patrick, who was the T-1000 in Terminator
2. The T-1000's in it? That's cool.
Yeah. Comes back in time to be in charge of the Secret Service. Did you get a chance to watch the Doctor Who Christmas special?
I did.
Okay.
I think I have to watch it again. It wasn't the best.
Okay.
I mean, I like the cast. I like the girl from Bridgerton. But yeah, I have to watch it again.
I didn't understand.
I do agree that the ending was very heavy-handed.
Yeah.
Oh. And that's why they call you Joy.
Yeah. And, you know, it's the star over Bethlehem. And it's like, so in this world of aliens and stuff, there really was a Jesus? Like, whatever. But one of the things as a Doctor Who fan that made me scratch my head was pretty much all of Joy's scenes are in the trailer.
Yeah.
Like, there's very few that were like new. And I was like, whoa, okay. So this was all a ploy, because I thought that the girl from Bridgerton was going to be the new companion.
I did too.
And all of a sudden she's gone and it's like, whoa, okay. And I guess it's now somebody else. Which, I mean, good on them for keeping that a secret.
Right.
But why you would take this this actress that's pretty well known and spoil all of her scenes, I didn't understand.
Yeah. And basically she's the lightning bug from Princess and the Frog.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah. I mean, I'm happy that they're still doing these.
Yeah.
I want more regular episodes. But we'll have to see what happens.
Well, so you watched the first season, right?
Of
Doctor Who?
Doctor
with,
Who?
With,
yeah.
Okay, and Kurosawa. So you know the old woman that was sitting outside the house that seemed to know who the doctor was?
Yep.
The fan theory online is that that is the woman that he spends the year with.
Okay.
Because she, at the end of the episode, gets a job at the Time Hotel.
Okay.
So she'd be able to move back and forth through time, and so this is an older version of her that wants to reconnect to the doctor.
Hmm.
Which is why, like, it's an aged version.
Okay.
And that she's just not using that name anymore. So, I don't know. It'd be an interesting idea for a character. I don't know if they've ever done that before, where, like, they introduce something that far out to be paid off later, especially in Doctor Who.
Right.
Doctor Who's always been a, like, you introduce something and it's resolved by the end of the episode.
Well, because they're always afraid they're going to get canceled.
Yeah, for sure.
15 Doctors later.
Yeah, exactly. But now they're on Disney, and Disney doesn't play around when it comes to, like, canceling shit.
Yeah, that's true.
It just goes away, so.
Yeah, I mean, I love the whole idea of the Time Hotel, and so, I liked the first half of it.
Yeah. Okay.
But, and the funny thing is, there was a, I think it was an Amazing Stories episode, or maybe it was a, was it Amazing Stories or was it Twilight Zone?
Outer Limits? Let's throw them all in there.
Yeah, right? it was the reboot of Twilight Zone.
Okay.
And it was about these people who were these scientists who were kind of waiting for this star to explode based on the fact that it would have been, you know, by the time the light had come to our eyes, it would have been, you know, thousands of years since the explosion took place.
Okay.
And basically what it is, you know, at the very end of it, you realize that exploding star was the star Bethlehem.
Oh, okay.
And it was, you know, I mean, it was a star that exploded and obviously caused thousands of deaths, but.
Right.
Yeah. Anyway, same story.
Yeah,
pretty much.
It's interesting how many, like, science fiction versions of that there are.
Right. Yeah, that too. Well, I mean, religion is science fiction, right?
Well, to me it is. To a lot of people it's not, though. It's fact.
Yeah.
I can't do anything about those people.
No, unfortunately. See, was there anything else we missed in the news this week? Haven't heard anything about drones this week.
No, all that went away.
Yeah, apparently.
It's amazing, isn't it?
It's, yeah, it's bizarre. Until we see that footage of them climbing over the White House on the 21st.
Well, I mean, there was that Russian hitman that was stopped at the border.
That was, oh, why didn't they let him in?
I don't know. Because he's our friend now.
Right?
I guess.
Comrade. До свидания.
It's all right. They're going to be our buddies. Sure, we're all going to have to learn Russian.
I know a few words. До свидания. Да.
I mean, my thinking on the whole thing, since, you know, we can't talk about this anymore, is when we take over Greenland, that's probably where I'm moving to, because it'll be the furthest away that I can get from the mainland. I mean, if it's going to be a state, that means I can travel freely to it.
That's true.
You know, then I'll just live there in isolation somewhere. I don't mind the cold.
Hey, Denmark was a really nice place.
That's what I hear. I hear Denmark and Norway are great places. They're just cold.
Been to both. Yeah, well.
So much fun in the future. All right. Well, you got anything else?
No.
Yeah. All right. Well, if you want to get in touch with us, you can always send us an email at info@dancemonkeypodcast.com. You can follow us on Facebook and YouTube and let us know you're listening. So until next week, this is Chris.
This is John.
Have a good week.
We can't all come and go by bubble.